This week we start a new summer series entitled On the Go. Come on, too far. As disciples of Jesus, As disciples of Jesus, we're sent by Jesus to be on the go. If you remember at the end of Matthew chapter 28, the end of Matthew's Gospel, there's the Great Commission where Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. But what does that look like? This is particularly important for us as a church, as we seek to be on the go. As our church strapline says, we're here to make Jesus known in Edmonton. This summer, as a church, we're encouraging one another to get involved with Go Create Mission. You may have picked up one of these flyers that Luke has been telling us about from the bookcase at the back. And what we're praying is that this series will help us see better what it looks like for us to be on mission and to enable us better to get stuck in. So what are we going to do in this series? Well, we're going to see what it looked like for a handful of early Christians to be on the go. We'll look at a different character each week, some who you maybe haven't thought much about before. They're some of the more minor characters in the New Testament. But what did it look like for these guys as they fulfilled Jesus' great commission? I'm excited about what we're going to learn from these characters over the coming weeks. And we are intended to learn from them. That's an important part of why they're in the Bible. As the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That's what these characters we'll be looking at were doing. And by doing that, they point us towards Christ, what he achieved on the cross, and what it looks like to follow him. So the character we're going to be looking at today is someone called Epaphras. So you need to get your Bibles open. If you don't have one, then Sean will be very willing to bring you one. And we're in Colossians, a little bit in chapter 1 and a little bit in chapter 4. So Colossians chapter 1 is page 1182. So Colossians chapter 1, page 1182, and we'll read the first 8 verses of that chapter. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. If you flip over the page to chapter 4, and we'll just read 2 verses 12 and 13. So chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Okay, so as we begin thinking about Epaphras, Let us pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to learn from Epaphras' example today as he points us towards the example of the Lord Jesus. May you enable us to be effective and productive in your service. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen. Has any of you been to Parkside Pick Your Own Fruit Farm on the other side of Enfield? I don't know, maybe it's a little bit far from here. But I went there with my sister earlier in the summer, and they had more strawberries there than I've ever seen before. Here's a photo that I took. And actually, for those of you who have Google phones, mine has started prompting me to upload pictures to the various places that I've been. It follows me around and tells me where I've been and then says, upload this photo. So if you look on Google Maps, you can actually see this photo. And you can see some other photos which show even more strawberries than are in this picture. There's some really are some good ones there. I can just imagine enjoying a bowl of those tasty strawberries, maybe with a little cream on top. A little bit like this punnet that I prepared earlier. And, maybe if you want one afterwards, I'd be very happy to share with you. Now, Epaphras is going to show us what it looks like to garden in a way that, with God's help, is as productive as my punnet of strawberries for the gospel. But let's start with a little bit of the backstory of Epaphras to learn who he is. He appears in two New Testament books of the Bible, in Colossians, as we've just read, and also he gets a brief mention in Philemon. I'm not going to give you all the references, but do come and ask me if you want to know where I've got these things from. But we can actually work out quite a lot about Epaphras, doing a little bit of reading between the lines. So he's from modern-day Turkey, a place called Colossae, and he probably became a Christian through Paul's preaching. He then went back to Colossae and was responsible for setting up the church in Colossae, and we think that met in Philemon's house. Epaphras also had some role in taking the gospel to the nearby cities of Laodicea and Hierapolis. And finally, when the letter of Colossians and Philemon are written, Epaphras is actually stuck in prison with Paul in Rome. So that gives us a bit of an idea who Epaphras was. But what did it look like for him to be on the go? What did he do as an early Christian in the early Christian church? And how can that help us in the early life of this church as we seek to reach out to the local community? As I was preparing, two things in particular struck me. The first thing is that Epaphras is described as being a servant. Did you notice that when we read it? He actually is called a servant twice. So if you look down at chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant." And then if you look at chapter 4, verse 12 over the page, it says, "Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus." So Epaphras is a servant of Christ. But what sort of servant of Christ, I thought? What's he trying to achieve? And that led to the second thing that struck me. I noticed that Epaphras and Paul both have exactly the same aim. So what Epaphras is described as doing fits exactly with Paul's purpose in writing the letter to the Colossians. So what was Paul's purpose in writing? Well, he wants the Colossians to grow and to mature and to burst into flower and produce abundant fruit, like my strawberries. So let's be clear why I'm saying this. If you look back in chapter 1 and verse 6, we see Paul thanking God for the way that the gospel is bearing fruit and growing among the Colossians as it is over all the world. And then in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, and these are maybe the key verses in the whole of Colossians, Paul says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." So there's the image of the plant again, rooted and built up. So the Colossians are like strawberry bushes, and Paul is like the gardener taking care of them and encouraging them to grow and be fruitful. And Epaphras is the same as Paul. He wants to see the Colossians be fruitful. And as we'll see, everything that he does contributes towards that aim. So Epaphras is like a gardener on Parkside, pick your own farm, up in Enfield, working for the landowner to produce lots of spiritual strawberries. Or we might say that Epaphras is a gospel gardener. So what does Epaphras teach us about what a gospel gardener looks like? A gospel gardener does three things. A gospel gardener teaches, encourages, and prays. That's what we learn from Epaphras' example. Let's look at these in turn. First, teaches. A gospel gardener teaches how to produce abundant spiritual fruit. When I was growing up, my mum was a keen gardener, and she had lots of books like this one. This one's called The Fruit Expert. I don't know whether it's on any of your shelves at home. Nick told me this morning that every good charity shop has one of these in it. It's by a guy called Dr. Hesseon. I was never quite sure how to pronounce that growing up, but it sounds like he knows what he's talking about. And inside it tells you all sorts of reasons why your plants might not be producing the fruit that you'd like to see from them. So the major pests and diseases, and then there's a picture here. It'll be too small for you to see, but it's got a gooseberry sawfly, which we have many examples of in our garden at the moment. Now, this book is about growing fruit, and it teaches how to produce abundant fruit. In a similar way, a gospel gardener teaches how to grow abundant fruit. Look down at chapter 1, verse 6 with me, where it says, "In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras." So the Colossians learnt from Epaphras. Epaphras was their teacher. Now, what was it that Epaphras taught? We could see that from the verse we just read. It was the gospel. The verse says, "In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. You learned it from Epaphras." What is the gospel? Well, we can pick that up from the verse as well. It's a message of God's grace. That's how I think verse 6 ends. It says, "Since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace." What is God's grace? It's his undeserved kindness. In other words, it's not about what we do, but it's about what God has done for us. In fact, later in chapter 1, Paul spells out in much more detail what it is that God has done for us. There are three parts to it. Number one, Christ deserves our praise. This is starting in verse 15, where it says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers, rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." And so it continues. But the point is that Christ is supreme, and so he deserves our praise. But number two, we were alienated from God because of our sinful behaviour. Verse 21, Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behaviour. Our sins had separated us from God. But number three, Christ has reconciled us to God through his death on the cross. Verse 20, God was pleased through Christ to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So that's the gospel in a nutshell. Christ deserves our praise. Our sins separate us from God, but Christ reconciled us to God through his death on the cross. God has done all that is needed for us to have a restored relationship with him by Jesus' death on the cross. It would be easy for us to get the impression that being abundant and growing spiritual fruit is all about doing stuff for God. But it all really starts with what God has done for us. And that's the gospel that Epaphras has been teaching. As Paul says in verse 23, this is the gospel that you heard. And remember, Epaphras is the one who taught the Colossians. Epaphras is passing on what he heard from Paul. And Paul, in turn, was passing on what he heard from the Lord Jesus, the great gospel gardener. Remember how Jesus began his ministry. We actually looked at this in Grow Group on Tuesday. Early in Mark's gospel, Mark records Jesus and he says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. In fact, later on in Mark chapter 1, Jesus says that the whole reason he's come is to teach. So Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come. And what was it that he came to preach? Mark 10:25, that famous verse, tells us it's about what God has done through Jesus. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And this is what we have recorded in the pages of our Bible. That's where we go to find out about the gospel. So just like if you want to be an expert in growing spirit, in growing physical fruit, you might go to this fruit expert book. Here is where we go to find out about the gospel and growing spiritual fruit. So how are we to respond to what we've heard? Well, before we're ready to teach others, we must respond to the gospel ourselves. So that means acknowledging those three things that are the core of the gospel: that Christ deserves our praise, that our sin separated us from God, but Christ reconciled us to God through his death on the cross if we all trust in him. We need to rely fully on Jesus' death on our behalf for our salvation. And then we must continue in that faith, as Colossians 1 verse 23 says, holding firm to the hope held out in the gospel. I wonder, is that something that you're doing this morning? If not, why not even commit yourself to the Lord Jesus today? That's the way that we start in faith, that we receive salvation from the Lord Jesus, and that's the way that the Christian life continues. But if we have already responded in faith and we're continuing in faith, then we can thank the Lord for people who, like Epaphras, we've been given to teach us the gospel. People who we've heard it from, like Nathan and Luke and the other elders. Or maybe if you have children, then we can be thankful for the people who lead the children's groups here. But it's not just about the people who stand up at the front. Did you know that Paul expects all of us to do it? So if you turn over to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, just over the page, and it says there, Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. So Paul assumes that we will all be teaching one another. What might that look like? Well, maybe helping someone after the sermon to understand something that they've found difficult to grasp. Or perhaps sharing something that you've learnt in one of your quiet times when you read the Bible in the morning. Perhaps it could mean pointing someone towards truths in the Bible that will help someone when they've been going through difficult times. I've certainly benefited from people doing that to me when I found stuff relating to my old job and the start of my new job quite stressful and difficult to deal with. Or maybe it could mean reading the Bible one-to-one with someone on a regular basis. And it's not just about doing it with other Christians. Remember that when Epaphras came back to Colossae, there wasn't a Colossian church there for him to preach in. He was involved in setting up the church. So he must have been preaching to non-Christians and teaching them to begin with. And in the same way, we can get involved in teaching non-Christians. So whether it's with school friends or parents on the gate, or maybe work colleagues or neighbours or other friends or people who just come to the door. Now, one particular way for us to get involved that Patrick has already mentioned this morning is with the mission that we have going on at the end of August. It might require you to take a couple of days off work if you're able, but it will definitely be worth it as we seek to reach out to the community here in Edmonton. There's lots of good stuff planned, and Luke and Patrick and Gareth will be able to tell you more. I think there's actually a sign-up sheet on the notice board just in the hallway if you're wanting to join in with that. I would ask you prayerfully to consider doing that as we reach out to the community here and seek to teach them the gospel. Okay, so we've seen first that a gospel gardener teaches how to produce spiritual fruit. Second, a gospel gardener encourages with news of spiritual fruit. When I was growing up, we had quite a few house plants, and a key to getting them to grow was this stuff here. It's baby bio. Have any of you seen this before? So it contains like plant nutrients, and the idea is you put a few drops in the water just as you're giving the plants a drink, and it encourages them to grow. So a bit like this baby bio, a gospel gardener also encourages. And the way that he or she does that is through news of spiritual fruit. So flip back to chapter 1 again. This comes from chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, Epaphras also told us of your love in the Spirit. So Epaphras is encouraging Paul and the other disciples with news of what's happening with the Colossians. The reason I describe it as encouragement is because of the way that Paul responds with great joy on hearing the news. Read verse 3 with me, where it says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard." So Epaphras is not just giving a news update about what's going on in Colossae. He wants to encourage Paul in all that's happening. So a gospel gardener encourages. But look carefully at the verse. What is the encouragement? The verse says, Epaphras also told us of your love in the Spirit. The encouragement is the Colossians' love. This is particularly their love for fellow Christians, as we discover in verse 4. Where Paul writes, "We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people." And in verse 6, Paul makes clear this is an example of the gospel bearing fruit. So what Epaphras is doing is encouraging with evidence of gospel fruit. He's saying, look at the spiritual strawberries that are growing. But notice where the strawberries come from. That's at the end of the verse. Epaphras also told us of your love in the Spirit. The encouragement is what God is doing, his work through the Spirit. The gospel gardener encourages with news of what God is doing. He's saying, look at the spiritual strawberries that God is producing. It's not about what we're doing, but it's about what God is doing. And this fits with what we saw about the gospel gardener teaching. It's all God's work. And again, this points us to Jesus, the great gospel gardener. Jesus was a constant source of encouragement for the disciples, helping them to see the great gospel plan of salvation, teaching them patiently when they didn't get it, correcting them kindly when they'd gone astray. How does this relate to us? Well, we need an Epaphras to encourage us with what God is doing. Let us thank God for those Epaphrases that he's provided us with here at Silver Street, maybe a family member, or perhaps a Christian at school or at work. Do stop and think. Who is it who's encouraged you in the gospel? And give thanks to God for them. And if we need an Epaphras, we can be sure that other people will do too. So we need to be an Epaphras to them. So let us seek to encourage others with what God is doing to grow gospel fruit. This might mean sharing how you're thankful for the service of someone else in the church. Or maybe it means telling how you've been praying for someone at work or at school and they've become a Christian or shown interest in the gospel. Perhaps it means talking about summer camps that we've been involved in, like Connect a couple of weeks ago, and talking about what God was doing and how he was at work on those camps. Or maybe it could mean sharing with a friend what you've been reading about how the persecuted church is nevertheless growing around the world. A great way to do this is through the Grow Group prayer meeting and Bible study on a Tuesday evening. That's where we share lots of family news and seek to encourage one another. But whatever the way, let us seek to encourage one another with news of spiritual fruit that God is producing. Okay, so we've seen that a gospel gardener teaches how to produce spiritual fruit and encourages with news of spiritual fruit. Thirdly and finally, we also see that a gospel gardener prays for abundant spiritual fruit. Now, gardening without any tools is pretty hard work. In fact, in some cases, I think it must be impossible. Imagine trying to cut a tree down if you don't have a saw. Up at the fruit farm in Enfield, they have some fairly substantial tractors that they use to move plants and fertiliser around the site. It's actually quite a big area. I would have liked to bring a tractor in here to demonstrate this morning. But, well, I was going to say it wouldn't fit through the door, but I think the truth is really that they wouldn't have trusted me with it, you know, driving off down the road. That might have been a bit suspicious. But in a similar way, a gospel gardener can't produce fruit on his own. He needs help. In fact, he needs God to do the growing. And that's where prayer comes in. So these are from the verses we read in chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. So flip over the page and read those with me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. So remember, Epaphras is not with the Colossians when this letter is written. He's with Paul, stuck in prison in Rome. And you might think that there's not much that he can do being so many miles away from Colossae. But he can pray, and he does that with all his heart. Did you notice when he prays that verse 12 said he is always resting in prayer for you? That might not literally mean 24/7, but I'm sure he put in some pretty long sessions. He was fully committed to lifting the Colossians to the Lord in prayer. And did you see how Epaphras prays? He is always wrestling in prayer for you. Wrestling sounds like hard work. In fact, I think that's why Paul goes on to say, I vouch for him that he is working hard for you. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find praying is hard. I'm lazy. The words just don't seem to flow. It forces me to confront my own sinfulness. Maybe I doubt that God will answer in the way that I'm hoping. The list goes on. But when we're tempted to think like that, it's an encouragement to know that we're not the only ones who may find praying a struggle. But Epaphras perseveres in that struggle. He keeps going. And that's a challenge to us for giving up so easily. I certainly am tempted to stop praying when the going gets tough. But Epaphras is an example to us showing how we can keep going even when it's difficult. And notice too what he prays for. That you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. That's spiritual fruit. Epaphras is praying for abundant spiritual fruit. What a great thing for us to be praying for fellow Christians. Nothing can be more important than their perseverance and endurance in the faith. It's not about our particular circumstances. As we've seen, Epaphras was stuck in prison when the letter was written. He could still pray. And it's not necessarily about whether we know the particular circumstances of the people we're praying for. We can still pray for spiritual fruit and it will do them good. You can pray that for me. I'd be very thankful if you did. You can pray it for each other here in the church. And did you see that Epaphras' concern extended beyond the immediate Colossian church? He was also working hard for Christians in the churches at Laodicea and Hierapolis, two nearby cities. And this fits well with our desire to be an outward-looking church as we pray together for churches that belong to our Together for Mission partnership. They're on the map at the back. As we pray for Bible-believing churches across the UK, and as we pray for the worldwide church. Do pray for their fruitfulness. If you don't already, can I challenge you to pray for the Together for Mission partnership, for other churches in the UK, and for the global church? Ask that God would produce spiritual fruit among them. It will do them great good. An excellent way to do that is to join us at Grow Group on a Tuesday evening. Now, I recognise that's not possible for everyone, but we do try on a Tuesday evening to pray for lots of that stuff, praying for the church here, for the Together for Mission partnership and further afield. And we seek to lift all of those needs to God, recognising that he's the one who produces gospel growth. If you're not able to come, then you can pick up the sheet that we use to help us to pray, again from the bookcase at the back. That they're usually available the Sunday after the Tuesday. So if you can't make it on a Tuesday, do consider picking one of those up and praying through them yourself, or maybe with a friend alongside you. But in all of this, we can look towards Jesus, the great gospel gardener, and the greatest and perfect example of a dedicated prayer. He often retreated somewhere quiet to pray by himself. And he prayed at all of the key moments in his ministry. I'm particularly reminded of his prayer in John chapter 17, shortly before he was betrayed. Jesus prayed for himself because he was about to die. But then he went on to pray for his disciples. And like Epaphras, he prayed for their protection, that they would keep going as Christians and be fruitful. And also like Epaphras, his concern extended beyond his immediate companions as he went on to pray for all believers. Jesus, the great gospel gardener, who doesn't call us to do anything he hasn't already done. As we wrap up, I wonder, has anyone noticed a link to our church verse for the year? Who can remember what our church verse for the year was?
Acts 2:42,
that's right. So the verse is, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. You might have one of these cards at home, maybe on your fridge. So just read that again with me. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the gospel gardener teaches, and to fellowship, an important part of which is encouragement, so a gospel gardener encourages, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, a gospel gardener prays. So when we say that Acts 2:42 is our verse for the year, we could say that we are seeking to be Epaphras's working for spiritual fruit. Fruit that is much more satisfying and lasts much better than my box of strawberries. So let's pray for God's help in doing that. Father, thanks for the great news of your grace, that we can be reconciled to you through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Thanks for the gospel gardeners you have provided us to teach and encourage and pray for us. Please help us to be gospel gardeners for others, working hard for spiritual fruit here in Edmonton and further afield. And might we bring glory to Jesus' name by doing that. For his sake we pray. Amen. Amen.